And we're going to begin reading at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, and beginning in verse 46, a call to fresh faith. They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he called all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. Would you pray? And let's invite the Holy Spirit to join us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you for your presence here and your powerful word. I pray that you'd come and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. We've been traveling through the remarkable Gospel of Mark together. We looked at the works of Jesus in Mark, and now we're looking at the way of Jesus. The heart of the Gospel of Mark is a section of verses called the way. It begins with the healing of the blind man from Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8, and it concludes here in Mark chapter 10 with the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And these two healing miracles of two blind men form a pair of bookends right in the center of the Gospel of Mark. In between those bookends, Jesus is leading the disciples on a physical journey. They're traveling from Galilee in the north of Israel down to Jerusalem in the south of Israel. And on the way, Jesus is leading the disciples and us on a spiritual journey. Jesus is revealing the true nature of his messiahship and of our discipleship. The blind man from Bethsaida illustrates a journey that every follower of Jesus must take. A journey from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight. Jesus is the one who restores lost spiritual vision. He touches us again and again until we're completely whole. On the way to Caesarea Philippi, we learn that true discipleship begins with a true confession of Jesus Christ. In Capernaum, we learn that true discipleship is to become salty servants. On the way to Judea, we learn that true discipleship is to entrust ourselves completely into the hands of Jesus. On the Jerusalem airline, we learn that true discipleship is to become mega leaders. Today, we reach our last stop on the way to Jerusalem. Just outside of Jericho, Jesus calls us to fresh faith. And as I look at the healing of blind Bartimaeus, I find four qualities of fresh faith that I want to share quickly with you today. And of course, by quickly, I mean April Fools. Sit back, relax. Let's talk about four qualities of fresh faith. The first one is this. Fresh faith recognizes the sound of a rising kingdom. Fresh faith recognizes the sound of a rising kingdom. Beloved, when it comes to faith, hearing is better than seeing. I wonder if you had to choose to give up one of your senses. If you had to choose to give up either your seeing or your hearing, which one would you choose? How many of you would choose to give up your eyesight if you had to choose something to give away? Who would choose eyesight? Two people, three, four. We know the music lovers in the room. All right, who would choose if you had to give up your hearing instead? Yeah, most people respond that way. Believe it or not, there have been formal surveys conducted on that topic, and overwhelmingly, people say they'd rather keep their eyesight because they could lead a more normal life. But what's surprising is that there's a huge body of research that says for intellectual and emotional development, hearing is better than seeing. A man named Oliver Sacks wrote a book called Seeing Voices, and he says hearing is better than seeing because of the power of words to form our thoughts and our emotions. And when it comes to faith, hearing is better than seeing too, because hearing has the supernatural ability to make the heart believe. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He has a big crowd with him now. The pace of the journey has changed. They're marching to Zion. They're eager. They're determined to get to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. And many people in the crowd had seen Jesus do miracles again and again. And yet, seeing is not always believing. It wasn't for the Pharisees and the scribes. It wasn't for the Gadarenes who begged Jesus to leave their country. It wasn't for the people of Bethsaida and the other small villages around Galilee that rejected the ministry of Jesus. Seeing wasn't believing for the rich young ruler or the multitudes in Jerusalem or even some of Jesus' closest followers. In contrast to that great multitude, Bartimaeus is sitting by the way begging. He can't see, but he can hear. And in the absence of sight, his hearing had become fine-tuned. Somehow along the way, Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. And what he heard awakened faith in his heart. He heard about a teacher with a message and authority like the world had never known before. He heard about a man who forgives sins. He heard about a man who heals the sick. The lame walk, the lepers are made clean, the demon oppressed are set free, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, and the blind see. Based on what he heard, Bartimaeus drew the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. Bartimaeus reminds us of the superior faith of the bleeding woman in Mark chapter 5. We talked about it. Jairus, the pleading father, believed that Jesus could heal his daughter based on what he had seen Jesus do in the Capernaum synagogue. But the bleeding woman had only heard about Jesus. And yet, based on what she heard, she came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in the corner of his prayer shawl. Based on what she heard, she maneuvered her way through the crowd and reached out and touched Jesus with a touch of faith. The pleading father had to see one more miracle before his heart was ready to believe, but she had a superior faith, faith that comes by hearing. In the same way, Bartimaeus had a superior faith, one that came by hearing. The blind man immediately saw what the seeing crowd could not, that Jesus is Lord. As Bartimaeus sat by the way, he recognized in the marching footsteps the sound of a rising kingdom. Beloved, fresh faith, it enables us to recognize spiritual truth. Fresh faith recognizes the true identity of the King. He began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David." Bartimaeus became the first public herald of a truth that had been kept hidden throughout the entire ministry of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of David, the Jewish Messiah, King of the Jews. Jesus had commanded the demons not to announce it. He had commanded those he healed and delivered to keep it a secret. He commanded his disciples to keep it quiet. Jesus waited until the very end of his ministry to let his real title be announced: Son of David, the King of the Jews. Blind Bartimaeus is the first person to preach the gospel publicly that Jesus is Lord. Fresh faith recognizes the true identity of the king, and it recognizes the tenderness of the king. He shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Somehow, by faith, Bartimaeus recognized the truth hidden in Psalm 110 that the teachers of the law failed to see. That the Son of David is greater than David. That the Son of David is David's eternal Father. That the Son of David is Lord. Beloved, on his way into Jerusalem, King David killed the blind and the lame when he went to seize that city from the Jebusites. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 5. In fact, King David refused to allow the blind and the lame ever to enter into his royal court. But Jesus, the Son of David, on his way into Jerusalem, he healed the blind and the lame, and he made them part of his royal entourage. The Son of David has more compassion than David. Solomon, the son of David, Israel's glorious king, was believed to possess such divine wisdom that by it he could even heal the sick and deliver the oppressed. When the people in Nazareth heard Jesus teach and they saw his miracles, they said, "What kind of wisdom has been given to him? He even heals the sick and he delivers the oppressed." By faith, Bartimaeus recognized something the teachers of the law couldn't see, that Jesus, the Son of David, is greater than David and greater than Solomon. Fresh faith recognizes the true identity of the king, the tenderness of the king, and fresh faith recognizes the timing of the king. Bartimaeus was the only one who seemed to grasp the historic significance of the moment. When he heard the sound of marching feet, and he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he realized that the Son of David was on his way to the city of David to claim the throne of David. Bartimaeus realized that this was a moment in the history of the world like never before. He realized that this was his one and only moment to grab a hold of Jesus, and he refused to let that moment pass by. Beloved, Bartimaeus is calling us to faith too. The Holy Spirit is calling us to a superior faith, one that comes by hearing. Jesus said to Thomas after the resurrection, he said, "Thomas, you believe in me because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have never seen me and yet still believe." Faith that comes by hearing is a superior faith. The Holy Spirit is calling us to forget about what we can see and perhaps what we can't see, and instead to listen with the ear of our heart. Listen and recognize the true identity of Jesus. He is the Jewish Messiah. He is the one and only Savior of the world. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Receive him today as your sovereign. Receive him today as your Lord, as your leader. Listen with your heart and recognize the tenderness of Jesus. The Son of David has greater compassion than David. The Son of David possesses even greater wisdom than Solomon, son of David. Jesus delivers, Jesus heals and rescues. Listen with your heart and hear the timing of Jesus. Listen with your heart and hear the sound of a rising kingdom. 2,000 years ago, Jesus crested over the top of the Mount of Olives, and he entered Jerusalem to establish his throne. Today, Jesus is preparing to come again in the clouds of glory to consummate his kingdom. This present age, with all of its vanity, is passing away. The kingdom of darkness is about to give way to the kingdom of the beloved Son. Principalities and powers and thrones in the heavenly realm are about to come crashing down. Listen, and you will hear the sound of marching. There's a sound of a breeze in the mulberry trees. The angelic armies of heaven are preparing themselves. They're getting ready to march. Saints above and saints below are getting ready. All of human history is marching forward now towards its culmination with the return of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen and recognize your divine moment of opportunity to grab hold of Jesus before his royal procession passes by. Fresh faith recognizes the sound of a rising kingdom. A second quality of fresh faith. Fresh faith cries out loud in spite of the crowd. Fresh faith cries out loud in spite of the crowd. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the louder, "Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me." There's an important truth that we're reminded of here about the crowd. The crowd is almost always wrong. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you're swimming against the current of culture. Anybody else noticed that besides me? Have you ever had those days where you wonder, is it just me or is it the rest of the world? Beloved, take heart from the story of Bartimaeus. It's the rest of the world. The crowd is almost always wrong. The crowd is uninformed or underinformed or misinformed. Ours has become the society for the blind. The blind lead the blind. The crowd is impulsive. The crowd is fickle. The crowd changes direction like the wind. I don't know what to do. You turn on the news and one day eggs are bad for you and the next day you should eat them every day. One day you should have a glass of wine a day and the next day it's going to kill you. One day you should take fish oil, the next day you shouldn't. The crowd, if you don't like the news, just wait a minute and it'll change. And the crowd changes allegiances quickly. The crowd gets bored easily. The crowd is intolerant. Isn't it funny that those who preach tolerance most vigorously in our society are the most intolerant of anyone who disagrees with them? And the crowd is impatient with anyone that impedes its progress, even though they have no clue where they're going or why. The crowd pressures. The crowd pushes down. The crowd stifles expressions of religious zeal. We don't want to see that on our football field. Don't you pray in public. Be quiet. We don't want to hear it. The crowd is insensitive. It's uncompassionate. The crowd told Bartimaeus, "Shut up." But fresh faith cries out loud in spite of the crowd. Bartimaeus reminds us again that in Mark, miracles are released by creative determination. Four friends carried their paralyzed buddy to Peter's house, only to find out that they couldn't get anywhere near the door. But they refused to be denied. They came up with a creative plan, and they found an outdoor staircase leading to Peter's roof, and they tore a hole in the roof, and Jesus responded to the creative determination of their faith. A bleeding woman devised a plan to maneuver through the crowd and sneak up behind Jesus and do something she was forbidden to do and touch the corner of his prayer shawl. And Jesus stopped in his tracks at the creative determination of her faith. A Syrophoenician woman refused to take no for an answer from Jesus, even when he delivered it with an insult. She crossed wits with Jesus. She pushed on him until he relented. Her miracle was released by the creative determination of her faith. Bartimaeus used the only resource he had, his voice. And when the crowd told him to shut up, he refused to be deterred. He cried all the louder. He exercised faith that was creatively determined. He refused to let his moment of divine opportunity pass by. Beloved, I have a word from the Holy Spirit for someone in here this morning. You've been waiting for God to move, but God is waiting for you to move. Listen to me. It is not faith to do nothing. It is not faith to try once and then give up. Faith exercises creative determination. God wants to get in someone's face a little bit today. Don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. Holy Spirit told me somebody here has said we're doing everything we can. And the Holy Spirit says to you, that's not true. When doors are shut, faith finds an outdoor staircase. When there are no openings, faith makes an opening. When someone else has gotten there ahead of you, faith keeps pushing through the crowd anyway. When the answer is no, faith bargains, faith pleads, faith negotiates. When the crowd says, give it up, faith cries out to God all the louder. Beloved, listen to me. Faith doesn't sit still because God has promised. Faith moves precisely because God has promised. Faith pounds the pavement. Faith picks up the telephone. Faith devises a plan B. Faith navigates around obstacles. Faith sacrifices dignity. Faith asks boldly for favor. Faith negotiates. Faith begs. Beloved, faith gives God something to work with. I'm not going to even ask how many people bought a Mega Millions lottery ticket this week. I don't even want to know. It's between you and Jesus. We took communion. God washed your sins away. Now, I want to say this. I cannot advocate playing the lottery. But if you win, remember, the tithe belongs to the Lord, all right? I'm just saying to you, if you're ever in a jam, here I am. If you're ever up a tree, call on me. If you ever win the lottery, remember who was with you when you were in a jam and up a tree. I'm just saying. There was a man who began to pray one day to win the lottery. He pleaded with God earnestly. Please, God, let me win the lottery. My family is in need. There is so much good that I could do. I could help so many people. I could build phase two for harvest time. I would write a check. I would pay for the whole thing. Day after day, he prayed sincerely, earnestly, please, God, please let me win the lottery. Finally, after about a week, God couldn't take it anymore. And he spoke to the man and he said, give me something to work with. Buy a ticket. Beloved, faith gives God something to work with. A hole in the roof, a sneaky touch, a glib retort, a cry of faith. You've been waiting for God to move. Give him something to work with. A plea for help. A bold request for favor. If you can't afford the rent, go and ask the landlord to lower it. If you need more help, ask your boss for a raise. Do whatever you have to do. Take a humbling night job. A friend of mine shared a story this week that I never knew. Many years ago, when his family was young and they had small children in the house, he and his wife were really struggling to make ends meet. And so he took a part-time night job at CVS. He was just starting out in a professional career, and it was humbling, to say the least, to go and stock shelves. He was embarrassed when his friends and people he knew came in and saw him working there by night at CVS. But a colleague walked in one day and he knew of an opportunity for him to use his professional skills to work part-time at night writing a very specific, particular type of mortgage. And so he left CVS and he worked nights part-time learning how to do these very particular mortgages, a very specialized field, a very specialized area. A couple of years later, a plum position opened up at a prestigious firm, and lo and behold, the partners of that firm were looking for someone who knew how to write that very specific type of mortgage. You see, CVS was his ticket to his next assignment. Give God something to work with. It turns out that Joseph's ticket to the palace was not Potiphar, but a prison. Maybe that second job or that humbling job that you've refused to consider is God's ticket to your next big assignment. Maybe that step backwards that you've resisted is God's ticket to help you take a quantum leap forward. Give God something to work with and give him some time. Jesus touched the blind man from Bethsaida, and then he touched him again. Bartimaeus called out to Jesus once, and then he called out to Jesus again. Sometimes it takes more than one try. Sometimes it takes more than one cry. Sometimes it takes more than one step. Sometimes it takes more than one touch. When Bartimaeus finally came face to face with Jesus, Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew precisely what Bartimaeus wanted. But the question was for Bartimaeus' own benefit. Because even the articulation of his need, even the articulation of his request to God was a demonstration of faith. Beloved, Jesus said that our Father knows what we need before we even ask him. And yet, after Jesus said it, he went on and he taught us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Our Father knows what we need, but he wants us to come and ask him because even the articulation of our request to God is a demonstration of our faith that we believe that he cares and that he can. Beloved, listen, receive God's word today. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare lay down and die. Don't you dare convince yourself that you've done all that you can. Try again. Call again. Ask again. Seek again. Knock again. Pray, pray, pray again. And God will answer, answer, answer you. Fresh faith calls out loud in spite of the crowd. Another quality of fresh faith. Number three, third quality of fresh faith. Fresh faith jumps when Jesus calls. Fresh faith jumps when Jesus calls. Honey, when Jesus calls you, you better ask how high on your way up. Jump when he calls you. I love this. At the sound of Bartimaeus' cries, the sun stood still. Jesus is marching towards Jerusalem now. He is walking with a determined pace. His face is set like a flint on Jerusalem, but Jesus can't help himself. Can I tell you, he's a hopeless lover of human beings. And when he hears determined cries of faith, the sun always stands still. And he commanded the crowd, "Call him." I love Jesus. Listen to me. Those who rebuked Bartimaeus, Jesus now made them bless Bartimaeus. Those who rejected Bartimaeus, Jesus now made them receive Bartimaeus. Those who stood in his way, Jesus now made those people escort him to a place of honor. Call him. Beloved, receive the word of God. Jesus is about to turn some tables in your life. Those who refused you in the past, Jesus is going to make them rise up and bless you. Those who rejected you, Jesus is going to make them acknowledge you. Those who stood in your way, Jesus is going to make them escort you to a place of honor. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, somebody is going to get a telephone call this week. The deal that you thought was dead, Jesus is going to resurrect it. The situation that you thought was hopeless, Jesus is going to bring it back to life again. Somebody's going to get a phone call. You're going to receive an apology this week that you thought you would never receive. Jesus is speaking in somebody's ear about you. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit gave me this word. Somebody is going to be back in business by Friday this week. Thanks be to God. Jesus' word to Bartimaeus was cheer up. I love that word. That word cheer up, it's special. It only occurs 7 times in the New Testament, and all 7 times it's Jesus who said it. It is his word. Listen to me, beloved. When Jesus calls you, it is good news. When Jesus calls you, it's not to make you miserable. When he calls you, it's to bless you. When he calls you, it's to put your feet on a path that brings peace and joy in your life. When Jesus calls you, it's for good and not for evil. It's to prosper you and not to harm you. When Jesus calls you, it's to give you a future and a hope. Good news! Cheer up! Cheer up. He said it to the paralytic as they were lowering him through Peter's roof. He said it to the bleeding woman who touched him. He said it to the disciples at night on a stormy sea. He spoke that word to Paul in prison after the riot in Jerusalem. He spoke it to Bartimaeus, and he's speaking it now here by his living voice. Cheer up. Take heart. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in your innermost being with strength from the Holy Spirit. Cheer up. It's going to be okay. Jesus has got you. Jesus hears. Jesus knows. Jesus cares. Cheer up. Somebody needs to get happy this morning. Somebody needs to cheer up. Listen, somebody walked into this place with no hope today. You're going to walk out with a heart full of hope in Jesus Christ. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Believe God. It shall be as he has told you. Bartimaeus is a call to fresh faith. His response is a picture of what my response to Jesus should be. Think about this. Bartimaeus could not see Jesus' face. He couldn't even hear Jesus' voice over the crowd. All Bartimaeus heard was his word, cheer up. And Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he jumped up and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus' cloak was his livelihood. As he sat by the way, he spread his cloak on his lap for people to toss coins into. The cloak spread on his lap identified him as a beggar. By night, his cloak was his sleeping bag. It literally kept him alive day and night. It was probably the only asset that he owned. Being blind, he would never let it out of his grasp. But when Jesus called him, he threw off his cloak and he jumped up and came to Jesus. Listen to me, beloved. May God give you grace. Peter and Andrew left their nets. James and John left their boats and their father. I always felt sorry for poor Zebedee, sitting there all scumbuddy, all alone in the boat. His sons turned their back, walked away from him. Some of you don't even know what scumbuddy is. Matthew left his tax booth. The woman at the well left her pitcher. The sinful woman poured all of her precious perfume on the body of Jesus. And Bartimaeus, he threw aside his cloak. They all represent the same thing, my way of life before Jesus. The things that form my identity, my means of self-sufficiency, the things that bring me security and significance, the things I depend on to get by in life, my daily habits, my routines, the sins in my life. When Jesus calls, the right response is to cast it all aside, to leave it all behind and come to him. The rich young ruler, he couldn't bring himself to make that leap of faith. He so wanted to know God. He so wanted to live a moral life. He so wanted to know spiritual truth and go to heaven. He did what Bartimaeus could not do. He gazed straight into the loving face of Jesus. It says that Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and he loved him. The rich young ruler had a benefit Bartimaeus never got. He could look into the loving face, the loving eyes of Jesus, but he could not bring himself to leave his old way of life behind and follow Jesus. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, stands in sharp contrast to him. Beloved, Jesus is calling to you and me today. Don't give it a second thought. Don't resist him. Don't refuse him. Don't hold on to your old way of life anymore. Though you have not seen his face, though you have not heard his voice, respond to his word. Throw away your old way of life. Jump up and come to Jesus. Four qualities of fresh faith. The final one is this. Fresh faith follows Jesus all the way. Fresh faith follows Jesus all the way. The way is the very heart of the Gospel of Mark. The words "the way" occur 9 times in Mark chapter 8, 9, and 10. The last occurrence is here in Mark 10:52, the very final words. Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. Beloved, listen, and may God give you grace. He who once sat beside the way was now on the way with Jesus. The way was the name of the Jesus movement in the first century after Jesus died and rose again. The way was used by the early church to describe a life of complete commitment and obedience to Jesus. The way of salvation, the highway of holiness that leads to heaven, the path of righteousness, following in the footsteps of Jesus in service and sacrifice. The thing that's interesting here is that Jesus gave Bartimaeus a choice. He said to Bartimaeus, "You may go your own way. Your faith has healed you." He gave him permission. He said, go your own way if you want to. Your faith has healed you. But Bartimaeus, rather than choosing to go his own way, he chose to go on the way. Bartimaeus followed Jesus to Jerusalem. He followed Jesus over the crest of the Mount of Olives on Palm Sunday. Do you know what's really cool? Bartimaeus' cry of faith became the crowd's cry of faith. Hosanna, blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He followed Jesus through his trial, through his crucifixion and his resurrection. He followed Jesus for the rest of his life. In the Synoptic Gospels, Bartimaeus, listen, he is the only person healed whose name we know. Mark included it because Bartimaeus became an important leader in the Jerusalem church. Bartimaeus decided to follow Jesus that day, and he followed him for the rest of his life. Beloved, Bartimaeus is a call to you and to me. He's calling us to fresh faith now. Hear the sound of a rising kingdom. Cry out loud in spite of the crowd. Jump when Jesus calls you. Throw aside your old life and follow Jesus all the way. And now you know the conclusion to the way. Stand to your feet and give Jesus a great big offering of praise in this place. Oh, that's a wimpy little offering of praise. Come on, give him a great big offering. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice and give glory and honor to Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we praise you. Come on, let's give him a Palm Sunday offering of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David. Blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice and let's sing, Draw Me, Lord.
Oh, draw me, Lord. Oh, draw me, Lord. Oh, draw me, Lord.
And I'll run after you.
Come on, sing.
Oh,
lift up your faces to heaven. Come on, lift up your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you just bless his name right now? Come on, just bless Jesus right now.